4 degrees to look at weather. Right now we have a chance to check in with Chris Galen, our monthly interview with Chris from the National Milk Producers Federation. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Joe. Glad to be inside.
You bet. What's the weather like in your neck of the woods?
Well, it's cold for us, too. We had a little of this big storm that's going up the East Coast, what they call the cyclone bomb storm, because it's going to be so snowy and windy up in New England, and we got the edge of it, so just dusting. But it's cold and windy here, and a lot of that really cold single-digit air from the Midwest is settling in over the East Coast right now.
So it's cold, 20, 25 degrees, or...?
Yeah, it's about 20, 25, and with the winds, your wind chills are in the single digits. And as far as I'm concerned, whether it's 5 above or 5 below, once you're in the single digits for the temperature, there's not much difference at that point.
Chris, talking about this dairy industry, can we start off by mentioning a positive right now in this dairy industry right now? Or?
Well, we always want to find a half-full milk glass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think positive, Joe, from the standpoint of the safety net, is that there is agreement in Congress, so not just in the dairy industry, but in the House and in the U.S. Senate, that we need to shore up the safety net. And so right before Christmas, the House of Representatives passed a disaster assistance bill that has a lot of different things in there, funding for Puerto Rico and for hurricane victims in Florida and Texas. But it also included an expansion of the livestock gross margin program. Now, that's a very limited use program so far because it has a dollar budget cap. And so what the House disaster bill does is it raises that cap and it will allow more farmers to use it. Now, the Senate has yet to vote on that disaster bill. We are expecting that they will include some additional money and resources for the margin protection program for dairy. And if we get that all then done here in this month or at the beginning of the year, it really allows us and gives Congress more money to work with in the next farm bill to make even larger improvements to the dairy safety net. So in terms of it being a positive, I really think that we're going to have more money to work with in the next farm bill so that we can do more with the dairy program in the farm bill.
Chris, I know a common theme is there's no new money, so the more you can get to work with, the better in this scenario.
Yeah. Well, so that's the headwind, the wind chill, if you will, Joe, is that Congress really is working with such little money right now. When you look at the overall size of the farm bill and for commodity programs, and dairy's a small part of that, but there just isn't that much out there. And you look at the U.S. dairy sales, it's about $35 or $40 billion a year just at the farm level. You know, if you average about 200 billion pounds of milk times about a $17 or $18 milk price last year, national average, you know, that's about a $35 billion a year industry. And the amount of money that Congress has to leverage against that to provide a safety net is very, very tiny amount. And that's just the challenge that we have. But again, the glass half full is we are going to have more going forward. Now, it's never going to be enough for everyone, but hopefully there will be enough for most farmers so that that we have more to work with here after 2017.
Chris Galen with the National Milk Producers Federation joining us. Chris, we also have NAFTA talks resuming again, or...?
Yes, the latest round, the latest and maybe greatest, we'll see, round of the talks starts here in about 2 weeks in Montreal. Can't imagine what the wind chill will be up in Canada, but I'm guessing all the trade ministers will be indoors the whole time anyway. And we're getting to the point here, Joe, where we've got to see much more tangible progress, particularly on the issue of Canada, their Class 7 program, which cut off ultra-filtered milk exports from the U.S. and Minnesota, Wisconsin, and also in New York. And we said that can't stand because what's happening now is that same program is allowing Canada to dump its underpriced milk proteins in export markets around the world, and that's costing U.S. dairy exporters sales. That's one of the reasons why skim milk powder prices are down in the low 60s a pound right now, which is a really unprecedentedly low price, and it's because you've got this competition from Canada coming at a time when the overall market for dairy proteins is really in the doldrums.
Chris, other dairy issues, I still see issues regarding labeling, deceptive labeling products as dairy products. That battle still continues.
Absolutely. In fact, the battle was joined again just yesterday, Joe, and we sent a letter to the FDA as well as the California Department of Food and Agriculture about a company called Kite Hill. They make what they call almond milk yogurt, and our point is that's a doubly deceptive term, because it's neither milk, even if they try to make it with almonds, nor when do you take that resulting almond milk and try to make it into yogurt. It doesn't become yogurt, just like it hasn't become milk when you take almonds and whiteners and emulsifiers and put it in a cup. So here's another example of this is a national brand. I don't know if it's available in Albany, but it is available in a lot of other stores around the country, and they're being very aggressive in their marketing. And, of course, they want to capture the halo of yogurt. Yogurt is one of the great health foods that we've seen in our society in the last 50 years. But the U.S. government defines yogurt as a product of milk and cream and bacterial cultures. And of those, this Kite Hill product only has the bacteria. And our point is that doesn't make it yogurt, and therefore it should be called an imitation product.
Chris, for those who are unaware of this whole situation or saying, Chris, why is it such a big deal? Yogurt is yogurt. Why is this such an important facet for the dairy industry?
The point is that as we see more of these plant-based dairy imitators, and it's dairy today, but they're also encroaching in the meat case with these plant-based poultry products or beef or pork, it's important for people to realize that not everything calling itself meat, just like not everything calling itself milk, has the same amount of nutrition. It's not that people may be confused by something calling itself milk, and people are people aware that it's from soy or rice or almonds. That's not our concern. The concern here is that these milks are not created equal. They don't, in the case of the imitators, have real milk's 9 essential nutrients and vitamins and minerals. And so therefore, if you're going to the grocery case and you see it filled with everything that's called milk, you can't just grab a carton and assume you're getting the same amount of nutrition as the granddaddy, the original of them all, which is real cow's milk.
Chris Galen joining us. Chris, anything else we should be aware of here?
Well, there's been a lot happening here. We're hoping to make some additional progress, Joe, on immigration reform. There's some environmental issues that are coming down the pike that are going to impact the industry, but I think a lot of those things we'll have to save until our February conversation. But it's going to be a busy 2018 here in Capitol Hill, on Capitol Hill here in Washington.
It was nice to see, as they kind of look ahead and say, these are some of our objectives here for 2018, and you mentioned immigration, and it seemed to be lost in a shuffle there for a while.
Yes, because it's such a hot button issue that a lot of people don't want to compromise, and we have to have that dynamic change here in 2018 if we're going to make any progress on the issue.
All righty, Chris Galen, did you stay up late enough to watch the ball drop or not?
I did not, but I will stay up to late on February 4th to watch the Vikings in the Super Bowl.
There we go. That's why you're our favorite guest on the radio.
Yes, I'm a suck up for the Vikings if that's what it takes. But yes, I wish them well.
Boy, we're not going to classify that as a jinx at all, Chris. Okay.
No, there's enough other ones out there. Mine is small potatoes compared to the big ones.
Oh, just don't say 1998, okay?
Yes.
All right. Chris, we appreciate your time. Have a good day, okay?
Yeah. Good to chat with you, Joe.
You bet. Chris Galen joining us, National Milk. Yeah. Don't say field goal in 98. Yeah. Anyhow, 4 degrees, Chris Galen. He's got the 2 thumbs up on the Vikings. So he said he'll stay up late enough to watch it, too. Chris Galen, National Milk, joining us here on Chasm Radio, noontime news here in central Minnesota.